Thank you very much. And the next time I'll be with you, we'll have a message that'll sort of be a summary of the book of Philippians before we go into the next book that we'll be exploring together. But I've entitled this Rejoicing in Loving Gratitude. Rejoicing in Loving Gratitude. And he starts out by recognizing others' sacrifice. On this graduation Sunday, he says there in verse 14 to 16, "You have done well to share with me in my affliction." You've done well to participate. He's there in prison, and they've sent a gift to him through Epaphroditus, and he recognizes that gift. Even though he says he's content and learned to be content in whatever circumstances he's in, he's very grateful for that gift. Just as that dear lady in Mark 14, that you, a well-known story, when she anointed our Lord for his very sacrificial gift, pouring out that perfume that would be a year's wage for a common laborer. And it was said to her, she was scolded and said, "What she's done is a waste." And our Lord said, "Let her alone. She's done a good deed with me, and it'll always be remembered." And so here we need to, as I constantly many times quote that first president I worked under, that statement, he says, "Seldom resist a generous impulse." If you have a generous impulse to show gratitude to somebody, it's usually something you should do. He recognized their past generosity. He says, "You yourself also know that in my first preaching the gospel after I left Macedonia," verse 15, "no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. Even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my need." So they had given, and Paul had received. They'd given to him on several occasions. Sometimes I've given to all ages of people just this sort of Thanksgiving assignment, where and one of those is to just list the key people of your life. And first you start with your family, and then also just how has God used them in your life, and to jot that down and think, have I ever thanked them? And even then also there's a day you extend it even beyond just your family, even your barber or hairdresser or your mechanic, and you know, how have God blessed me through these, and have I ever expressed gratitude to them? Well, that's a good example, and Thanksgiving is an incredible emphasis. It's one of the great marks of the Spirit of God working in a life, is gratitude. And so that's what you see Paul doing here. Now, he goes on to say he's been the recipient of this gift, but you see his attitude there in verse 17, the first part of verse 18. He says, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account." He says, "I seek not the gift itself, but for the profit which increases to your account." God is righteous. God is righteous. When you give unto the Lord, you will always, always, always benefit. And that's what you count upon. Now, there'll be times that Satan will throw those fiery darts of despair when you feel like, hey, you know, I'm giving. Is there really any reward for it? And he tells, don't grow weary in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap if you don't grow weary. And the reason, perhaps I've looked at this before, it's just one of the most amazing verses there, that even our Lord himself, it's not a sin to be tempted. And you can be tempted to say, is it really worth it? Is it really worth being generous and giving? And it's that verse in Isaiah 49 that prophetically speaks of the Messiah and the conversation between the Father and Son that I've shared with you several times. When he says, "You're my servant in whom I show my glory." But I said, here's our Lord being tempted, "I have toiled in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity." There were times as our Lord never did anything but obey his heavenly Father, but looked out at his hard-hearted disciples, still consumed about who's going to be the greatest. But so he was tempted. "I've spent my strength for nothing." Every servant of God will feel that way. Every believer said, is it really worth it? Yet surely the justice due me is with the Lord. My reward is with my God. As Paul says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain. Knowing your labor is not in vain. Let me just, but see, I seek for the profit which comes to your account. Yes, if he says, if I thank God for, and I benefit from your giving, but I'm just so excited for the profit that comes to your account. Let me share with you three proverbs that so graphically explain that. It says, Proverbs 11:17, the merciful man does himself good. The cruel man does himself harm. 11:25. The generous man will be prosperous. He waters him, will himself be watered. The principle of sowing and reaping. I think when I first moved to Chicago, and that was, I'd come here from being a student for 6 years at a graduate school, 4 years in a master's program, 2 years in a doctoral program, lived in the dorm all those years, and had a prayer meeting in my room every night. And when I came here, and the providence of God ended up, I thought I probably told you this story. They fly you up for a house hunting trip. I was single, so I said, I'm easy. Don't worry about me. Just give me a place on campus to live. Oh, we don't have a place for a faculty to live on campus. Well, just let me live somewhere close. And remember the dear guy in the HR, probably I've told you, he says, well, I live in Crystal Lake. That's 50 miles away. Close as a relative term in Chicago. Well, I said, we have the same word, but we have a different dictionary. Close to me means walking to work. So I walked down the street to this day. I don't know where I went, but I was not prepared. I'm from the Deep South, you know, for the shocking price. So Wheaton was the only suburb I'd ever heard of. I'd heard of that one. There was a lot of Christian organizations still, but even more so back then. So I trained out to Wheaton. There was a dear Christian real estate lady, spent a day with me just to ride me around, knowing she wasn't going to make a penny because I was just going to rent. But I found these tall apartments. They sort of look out of place out there, still there, Wheaton Towers, and lived there. And so, but very private living. And, you know, that first semester I was here, of course, brand new, whatever, and I threw myself into what I was called to do, whatever. But, you know, I tell you, I was lonely in a way I had never been before. And one of the things that God showed me, okay, I said, you know, do you really believe my word? You know, take seriously the principle of sowing and reaping. If you want encouragement, sow encouragement. If you want kindness, sow kindness. If you want smiles, sow smile. You'll reap it, maybe not in the way you think you will, but that's like the law of gravity. And that's what he says, the merciful man does himself good, the cruel man does himself harm. And so I kept a list of people that I would just try to sometimes call to be encouragement to. Just to bring. So, and God did gloriously sustain me. The Proverbs 19:17 says, one who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord. He'll repay him for his good deeds. God is righteous. God is righteous. He tells the believers there, and right of the Hebrews says, God is not unjust so as to forget your labor. Hebrews 6:10. Our Lord, give and it shall be given to you. If you give a cup of cold water in my name, you'll never lose your reward. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So God is righteous. So yes, he wants to encourage giving. And only a regenerate mind can really believe that's not from a, I know it can. There can be great abuse that people can encourage giving and they're really milking themselves and not being men and women of integrity. But from God's perspective, if you give it to the Lord, you'll never lose. Now you see Paul's response to their gift, where he says, I have received, verse 18, everything in full, and I have an abundance. I'm amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent. Paul's response to their gift, delivered by Epaphroditus, says, I've received it in full. I have an abundance, amply supplied, as opposed to a greedy person saying, oh, thank you for giving, boy, would you, I need a little bit more. The famous statement that all of you have heard from the the wealthy man there, and his family still has a lot of money. I read recently at Rockefeller, but how much money is enough? He always said, just a little bit more, just a little bit. You don't find somebody that's given to you that's not content and say, well, I'm amply supplied. I've received everything in full, as opposed to keep giving, keep giving. Now, God's response and promise to the giver is what you see next. He says, he calls it, this gift, a fragrant aroma. It smells good to God when you give it unto the Lord. Smells good to him, fragrant aroma. An acceptable sacrifice. Well-pleasing to God. God's pleased with it. He says it smells good. It's an acceptable sacrifice. God's pleased. Giving or sharing is one of those sacrifices. Doing good is a sacrifice in Hebrews 13. Praise is a sacrifice, but also sharing or giving. Of course, God's well pleased when we give our bodies to him, and he's acceptable to him, a living and holy sacrifice. And that's the safest place to be, is say, God, my life is yours. Everything I have is in your hands. But he says, that's God's response. Now, God's promise to the giver is in verse 19. My God will supply. He will completely satisfy, make full, fill up, completely satisfy every need of yours, all your needs, not every greed of yours, but every need of yours. Greed can results in idolatry, Colossians tells us, but every need of yours. God promises, honor the Lord from the first of all your produce, and your vats will be filled with, your barns will overflow with, and your vats will be full. God honors giving the first fruits to him, giving the first fruits to him. And mathematically, it may not make sense. You give the first fruits to God, what's left over goes further. So, and he says, he'll completely satisfy every need of yours according to his wealth or his riches in glory. He will gloriously provide because it comes from his glorious person, his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. As Paul would say in Romans 8:33, he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not with him freely give us all things? So God's promise to the giver. And then he pauses and gives glory to the true giver. Verse 20, he says, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. All glory goes to him. They recognize glory to God means simply affirming him for who he is, recognizing him for who he is forever and ever. And I'll just pause to read this one verse out of First Chronicles, when there was an amazing offering taken up for the temple in First Chronicles 29. It's the spirit of what Paul is doing now. They've given this great gift, and he's recognized that, and he's thanked them for it, and he says, I'm excited because of the benefit that's going to come to you. And he says also the God's response to it and God's promise in regard to it. But in First Chronicles 29, after they've taken up this enormous offering for the temple, we read in verses 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 14, David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. He says, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever, just like Paul's doing in Philippians 4:20. Yours, O God, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. Everything in the heavens and in the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. And you exalt yourself as head over all. That's a beautiful expression of what it means that God is sovereign. You exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. You rule over all. And in your hand is power and might. And it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. See, they've taken up this generous offering, but their focus is upon God. Look at verse 14. Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? Whatever God's done in your life to give you the ability to give and even the desire to give, that's a work of God. I mean, every penny you give is, in some sense, a step of faith. It's a penny you could use for yourself. So he says, all glory to you, for all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. So after, the focus is not what they've done, but it's what God has made possible. And so glory to the true giver. And then in Philippians 4, verses 21 and 22, he encouraged to share love among God's people. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. I think sometimes we look at that as if Well, that's just a familiar phrase, but maybe not take it as seriously as we should. You know, when someone says, well, when you see and so, would you say hello? You know, I write it down, so I make sure if I say I would do it, I would do it. And sometimes it perks somebody's up to hear that good news. Somebody's thinking about me, and they thought about me. So greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me, he passes on those greetings, or who are with me greet you. That is the ones that probably were fellow workers with Paul, and they had helped him there. They greet you. All the saints greet you. Those who had heard from Paul, had heard Paul speak about the Philippian church, maybe those who knew he was writing to them, they greet. They send their greetings, especially those of Caesar's household. So evidently there were servants and freedmen who had attended to the emperor's business, and there was an element of a community of faith among them. Well, he closes out the book of Philippians with reminding us of the dynamic of the Christian life, verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. He earned everything for us. Apart from the grace of our Lord, which we celebrate at the Lord's table, we would be in torment. He earned everything. Jesus is said to be full of grace and truth. John 1:14. From his fullness we've all received in grace upon grace. Grace upon grace is like being at the sea and seeing the waves just keep coming in. Grace piled up on top of grace. Grace on top of grace. Grace on top of grace. You see, the dynamic of the Christian life, from him we have that grace of being accepted. Fully, absolutely, completely. The grace of being what? Continually cleansed. Anything you need to be continually cleansed as you walk in the light, he is the light. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. Be assured of that as we have the great privilege of partaking of the Lord's Supper. In fact, that grace of God is the dynamic of everything in the Christian life, certainly the dynamic of giving. As you read about there in 2 Corinthians 8:9, Paul says, let me tell you the grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia. It says they yearned to give. They begged us that they'd be able to give. They gave beyond their ability. That's the grace of giving. The grace of giving. God's Spirit working in you. The grace of giving. Of course, that's the grace of all the Christian life. Apostle Paul says, I'm not worthy to be a Christian. I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I'm least of all the saints. But yet I labored more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. That means what? That the grace of God, the dynamic, it's God's gracious provision of the Spirit that gives you the motivation and the power. Sometimes when you feel like, hey, I don't even know that I can even get out of bed, but I'm going to get out of bed because I know that God's going to meet me. And whatever the responsibility I have, okay, if God's asked you to do it, you know His grace is going to be there. If God's asked you to do it, He'll give you the grace to do it, the motivation and the power to do it. That takes so many fears away from your life. If it's of God, you can trust Him for the grace of God. That's the dynamic. Come boldly, come with freedom to that throne of grace to receive mercy and grace in time of need. Well, this delightful book of Philippians, he feels very, very close to this church. And he remembers that on several occasions they have sustained him, his own principles, that he would not take money from a church he was speaking at. He says you have the right to do that, but he chose not to do that. But he would take money when others would provide him for him. And this was a very generous church. But he sees giving as something, and everyone who lives on support, and some of you have gone to missions and whatever, and it's our privilege to support you in some way. But you have to work through that whole, okay, I'm not just begging or asking, it's what? It's benefiting the people who give to you. And anything you give, God is righteous. The merciful man does himself good. The cruel man does himself guard. He who waters others will himself be watered. God is not unjust so as to forget your labor. Give and it shall be given to you. Give a cup of cold water, you'll never lack your reward. And God's great promise, those to those who give, my God shall supply all your needs, according to his glory in Christ Jesus. He did not spare his own son, delivered him up for us all. How will he not with him freely give us all things? Certainly all glory goes to the true giver. The God who is the source of everything, every good and perfect gift comes from above. We thank God for all the gifts that we even celebrate as we think of these graduates, all that's from very great milestones, whether it's high school or college or graduate school. We celebrate all those milestones today in our graduates, and we thank God for that. Well, we'll have one more message summarizing the whole book of Philippians, Lord willing, and how you develop joyful contentment, which is sort of what the book of Philippians is teaching. Let me pray, and we'll continue our service for the Lord's table, our sharing, our honoring our graduates in a very, very special way. So thank you, dear Father. Thank you for each precious person here. Thank you for the many ways, God, their generosity has blessed Penny and I's life, dear Father. And we thank you, God, for each one. Father, you know exactly the needs of their heart this morning, as you know exactly the needs of my heart. And I pray, God, that you would gloriously meet us. God, would you fight our battles? I thank you that passage in Luke 7 meant so much to me this morning, when the centurion cried to you and said, Jesus, you don't even have to come to my home. I want to believe you. You speak the word and it'll happen. God, there are things that we need to happen, dear God, in our assembly. And we cry to you, dear God, for your kind, loving, merciful, healing, encouraging touch upon the lives of the ones that we care about and we carry on our heart. And so, Father, would you do that above and beyond, dear God? I pray any burden on anyone's heart this morning, Lord, would be fully cast upon you before they leave here today. Any way the body of Christ needs to be orchestrated for that to happen, that we would be obedient to that command in this book, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Or in Peter's precious words, to cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. Would you give each one the deepest assurance that you care for them, dear God? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.